Today is All Saints Sunday, that day in the church year when we remember all of the saints of the church, both those alive today and those who have gone before. And by saints, I don't simply mean the folks to whom the church has given the name saint, as in St. Peter, St. Mary, St. Francis. By saints, I mean all those who have lived their lives striving to follow in the way of Christ. And while we here today as followers of Jesus are a part of that great communion of saints that is the church, when we think of saints, we usually think of those who have left this life for the next. I could probably point to each of you right now, and you could give me the name of someone close to you that is no longer with us, and of whom you could easily say, that person was a saint. It might be grandma or grandpa, or mom or dad. It might be the name of your husband or wife or partner, or your best friend since high school, or your 10th grade algebra teacher. We miss these saints, and we wish to heaven they were still with us here right now. Jesus cried when he heard that his friend Lazarus had died. The Gospel of John tells us so this morning. In fact, the Gospel says he began to weep, which in the original Greek is just two words, perhaps the shortest verse in the entire Bible. The fact that Jesus wept for the loss of his friend may surprise us. Didn't he know that he would see him again very soon? But there are other parts of the raising of Lazarus that are just as surprising, one of which comes prior to what we heard this morning. Earlier in this chapter of John's Gospel, when Jesus receives word that his friend Lazarus is gravely ill, he says, this illness does not lead to death. This illness does not lead to death. But it did, didn't it? Well, one of two things is possible. Either Jesus didn't know the truth of the situation or wasn't speaking truthfully, or, well, both those seem unlikely. The Jesus we see in John is not prone to getting things wrong. But if that's not what's happening, if it's not simply that Jesus is mistaken, then we must be mistaken in how we initially hear those words. When Jesus says, this illness does not lead to death, he must mean, what you perceive as the end of Lazarus is not the end of Lazarus. You will see him again. And of course they do. Jesus sees his friend again. Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, see their brother again. What people thought was the end of Lazarus was a time of pain and sadness, but it was by no means the end of Lazarus. And this is one of the, if not the, central teachings of the Christian church, that what the world perceives as the end is not the end. What Jesus' own disciples saw as the end when their teacher, their Lord, died on that cross on Calvary was not the end, but only the beginning. The saints who have gone before us rest in the nearer presence of God and sing God's praises, just as we do each week here in this church, just as thousands of them have done in their time. That which would appear to be the end is not the end. That still leaves us with a couple questions. One is the question posed by some people in today's gospel passage. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Excellent question. Even we, who know that Lazarus was brought back from the dead after 4 days, might still wonder why Jesus, who certainly could have kept Lazarus from dying in the first place, didn't stop it from happening. Wouldn't that route have been easier and less traumatic for everyone? Healing is all well and good, but wouldn't it be better not to ever get sick in the first place? All of these questions, in a sense, boil down to that eternal question. Why is this earth not heaven? What Jesus himself says in this chapter of the Gospel of John is that this whole experience of raising Lazarus from the dead is so that the work of God might be seen by the people. Now, when Jesus was walking the earth 2,000 years ago, the work of God was alive in a unique way in his ministry and his very self. But the work of God is still alive today in the work of the saints who are here. If this world were already heaven, there would be no need for God to work through all of us. And that's what we're here to do, to give ourselves to the service of God and God's people. Because through that work, people's lives are improved and God is glorified. We may not be able to turn this world into heaven, but we're certainly called to try to nudge it in that direction. That is the ministry, the work of the saints of God. The saints who have gone before us have fought the good fight, they've kept the faith, and they are now at rest. We who are still here will see them again one day. But until that day, we will do as they did and work to build God's kingdom on this earth. Finally, returning to that earlier question, why did Jesus cry? Jesus cried because even though he knew this was not the end for Lazarus, that he would see his friend again very soon, he wept because he understood, he felt the suffering of those who experience loss, which is to say, all of us. And even if we deeply understand that we must change and that death is a part of life, and even if we know deep in our hearts that Jesus promises us life eternal, that loss that we experience is not easy. Even loss that in the grand scheme is not permanent is still experienced as loss, and that brings sorrow. When his friends wept, Jesus wept with them because he was as close to them as he is to us today. If this world were already heaven, we would have no need of a Savior. We would have no need for the saints. But heaven is yet to come. And so we need Christ, and we need the saints of God, some of whom are sitting next to you right now. Amen.